Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to preview RuPaul's Drag Race Season 12. That's right, we are finally back after being bombarded with RuPaul's Drag Race seasons. We are now back with brand new queens. Now, if you missed our Drag Race UK coverage, it was announced that Mike Bloom sadly will not be joining us for coverage. He has a baby, so he's like busy or whatever. But don't worry, I'm still here. And the laughter you just heard is, of course, wonderful co-host Brent Wolgamott. Brent, how are you doing?
You better work, Liana Boris, hosting the show. We need some female representation up in here at RHAP hosting, and we got it. You sound amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I'm just, if Michelle Visage were to ever take over, this is what it would be. But no, now we are not alone. We brought in a third. We just couldn't do it. Mike will be sorely missed, but I am beyond excited to announce our co-host. You have heard him guest here before on the reality or on reality TV wrap ups on the recap, but he is joining us as our permanent addition, Amon Adwin. Amon, how's it going?
Yes, I don't know. I feel like Raven Simone when she became a permanent co-host for The View. It's just like, oh. I'm just so excited that I've just been added to this beautiful show. So excited. Love RHAP. So I'm glad that, you know, I get a chance to come and talk some Drag Race with you two. It's going to be a fun ride.
We're happy to have you, Amon. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for asking me. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah, we are
thrilled.
We're essentially The View. So welcome to the recap. Welcome to the recap. Welcome to the recap. All right. So let's talk about big picture of the season. So we know that it's premiering February 28th, which depending on when you're listening to this, but that is coming up on Friday. We have 13 queens, five of which are from New York City, but we'll talk about that later. And a whole slew of guest judges. Brent, do you have any overall thoughts on the season from what we know so far?
Really just excited to be covering RuPaul's Drag Race again. I feel like RuPaul's Drag Race gets bigger and bigger, bigger and bigger, bigger and bigger every year. Like it won the Emmy for best reality show. And like, it's just getting so much more in the mainstream. And you look back, like I started RuPaul's Drag Race again. I always tell this story. I started RuPaul's Drag Race back when it was on Logo, and I tried to get Rob to cover it because I thought it was a natural fit for the RHAP patrons. He was like, oh, I don't know. It's kind of, it's like, on this. It's this little show and it's on a little network. And he was totally right about that. And then like it grew and grew and grew into what it is now. And you just look back and think, wow, like look how far RuPaul and RuPaul's Drag Race has brought drag to the point where like so many of these queens are celebrated. And look at all the guest judges we have that are coming on. We have politicians and A-list actors and A-list singers. And it's just so freaking great that this is where drag is in 2020. And I am so here for it.
Yeah, RuPaul hosted hosted SNL, right?
Yeah, she did.
He did.
Yeah.
With Justin Bieber.
With Justin Bieber. Oh, so funny. Yeah, like that's where we are now. And I'm really happy that this is a world that we live in. But Aman, what about you? Do you have any thoughts going into the season?
I'm super stoked for this season. When they released all of the guest judges, my mouth just kept getting wider and wider and wider as I'm scrolling down the thread. It was just like AOC, Whoopi Goldberg. Like, it's just like so
Jonathan
many people that I...
Oh.
Yeah. I'm really excited. I always think about the time maybe about 5 years ago when Drag Race was starting to pop off just a little bit. And RuPaul just kept imploring with every interview that he went to. He would say, you know, I don't think drag will ever be mainstream. And while he might be right with that, like maybe, you know, Drag Race will, or drag in general will never be widely accepted in all forms of entertainment. But just this show alone within the past couple of years, just the mega stardom that it has launched some of these queens into, it's just like it's undeniable what kind of force there is behind this show. And I'm super duper proud of the community and just how much visibility that these queens are getting. And because they really do hold such a really crucial spot in pop culture right now. So it's a phenomenon, and it's amazing to see it flourish.
Speaking of that, actually, I think at the Super Bowl, was it Miss Cracker and Kim Chi? There were two queens that were in a commercial during the Super Bowl, which is just absolutely insane. Somebody will have to correct me on that, on exactly who it was. I'm pretty sure Kim Chi was one of them. But yeah, that's where we are. I can think back also to season one with that Vaseline filter. And here we are, you know, so many years later. It's just, it's really, really exciting. And it's such a great time to be a Drag Race fan. We are blessed.
I know, right? Yeah, you're right. It was Kim Chi and Ms. Cracker. They made history in a commercial for hummus brand Sabra during the football championship game in February. So that was very cool. You better work, girls.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, in Shangela, in A Star Is Born, mm-hmm. and just like, it's just all these opportunities that they're getting. It's insane.
Not just that, like, it's like also the smaller opportunities. And by smaller, I mean like a million people watching you when, you know, Evie goes on to WOW Presents and gets her own little platform on YouTube, and you see like 500,000, 1 million people watch that. You realize, like, I know I'm in YouTube. I know how many, you know, views, you know, or how many dollars is in a view, and you see that like 1 million people are watching that, and you know she gets a part of that. And mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh, so many amazing opportunities for all these queens to get their name out there, to get their brand out there, and it's just so freaking great to see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay, so let's get into the queens that we're going to be watching, that who knows what will happen to them. The world is their oyster. And I definitely have some thoughts about the 13 queens that we're going to talk about today. Actually, before we get into that, I have something that I found when I was doing some research for the show about the way that the first two episodes are going to be formatted. And it seems that episode one and episode two, which are included in the premiere, the queens are going to be split up into two groups. So you have group one and then group two. So group one is 7 of the queens and group two is 6 of the queens. I don't know if this is canon, but it seems like they might be introduced sort of in a similar way that season 6 did it, where you have the two groups of queens coming in at the same time, which begs the question, because you have 7 in one group and 6 in the other. Do we think we're going to have a returning queen on this season, Brent?
I mean, I hadn't really thought about that, but do you know something that I don't know?
Like, no, I don't know.
I mean, like, look, I'm going to be real with you guys. RuPaul's Drag Race and the fandom is not very good at keeping secrets. If there is a return,
no, the hell they're not.
Like, I have to believe we would have heard about it by now, unless it is just amazingly kept secret. So I'm going to say no on that one because I haven't heard squat about it.
Come on, do you have any tea?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they did. 13 is a very strange number. Oh, yeah. Because they usually do 14 queens or so. So why have an odd number of queens? Maybe not so much a returner, but maybe there's like another queen that like, maybe they'll have like, you know, someone, whoever goes home the first gets replaced with another person. I don't know.
I got it. Liana, it's the mole. It's the mole. It's the mole. The mole is back.
Yes. Bibi Zahara Vinay is back to reprise her role. Yes, as the
they're
mole.
Gonna have a winner come back and see. They're gonna pretend that they're a contestant, and in the end, they're gonna be the mole, and we all know it. And then they're gonna pretend like, oh, you just got eliminated because you're terrible, and we don't want to see you anymore.
I believe it. Let me go get my aluminum foil. I'll be ready. Okay. All right. So all speculation aside, let's talk about our first queen. Aiden Zane. So Aiden is 29 years old and describes herself as the ghoulish glamour girl, and she's from the middle of effing nowhere, Georgia. Aman, did anything stand out to you about Aiden?
I like the fact that she's bringing a little drama, a little horror. She said that she describes herself as like a cartoon queen, and I'm a big fan of cartoons, so I will definitely be looking out for those kinds of looks. She seems a little, I mean, she did mention in her little intro package that she's a bit more reserved, and so she's afraid of, you know, maybe the bigger personalities. And she says that, you know, because she's not really from a noteworthy place in the States, that doesn't really inform the way that she does drag, and it probably doesn't really inform the way that her personality manifests itself. So I do sort of like wonder if she's going to end up being like, you know, James Mansfield, where like they're incredibly talented, incredibly knowledgeable. Like if you guys don't know what James Mansfield's YouTube videos are like she literally does like history about everything about drag. So I'm getting James Mansfield tease from her. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that she can bring it out. And I hope that she can, you know, bring it to the table when it needs to be, because if not, I wouldn't be surprised if she's one of the first, the second person to go.
Yeah, I was going to say just the same thing. I see first boot potential here. And it's not like I responded negatively to Aiden, but I really felt like the energy was lacking. And obviously, one thing to keep in mind about these videos that we saw, Meet the Queen videos, is that they have all met each other by the time they did these, which is that's unusual as far as I'm concerned, because usually you see them and it's like, I don't know who's going to be here. This is amazing. I'm so excited. But it's clear to me, at least from some of these queens, that they know who else is here, because they're like, these other girls are amazing. There's so much talent here. One of the queens was like, I was hoping this would be an easy season, but I can tell that it's not. And I'm like, well, so they've all met each other. And still, Aiden to me seemed like her energy was pretty low. The one thing that jumped out at me, Liana, was the vertically challenged makeup. I guess it's not challenged. It's augmented, vertically augmented makeup, where everything is painted up. And that's interesting, and it can give you a little bit of personality, but I feel like she lacks so much personality that I don't feel like that can make up for it. Also, I feel like it's a less serious Sharon Needles in some ways, and I've seen that done better. So she's really going to have to work and prove me wrong to advance on this season. Otherwise, I think she could be the first person out.
Yeah. So there were a few things that stood out to me about Aiden. And actually, you know what? Quickly to comment on the Meet the Queens videos. So I mostly consumed the Meet the Queens videos. And then there was that runway reveal video where they all got to walk down in the, I don't know, warehouse and like show off another look or whatever.
It was urban streetwear theme.
Of course, yes, the urban streetwear theme. And so that was the majority of what I was looking at. And the vertically augmented makeup or whatever, I noticed the same look, eye makeup in both her looks. And I don't know if that was a situation of, oh, they filmed these two like right back to back and she couldn't change it. But I kind of have a feeling like that's always going to be her thing. And I think that's cool. I'm glad that she has her thing. But in terms of Drag Race, I feel like that might be criticized. And so I'm a little nervous for her based on that. But
like if Michelle is looking for something to pick at you and your personality is lacking, she's going to pick on that.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, I'm scrolling through her Instagram now and I went all the way back to the first picture and it's essentially the same face each time. The eyebrows are the exact same. She doesn't really seem to have too many followers yet, 35.9K, and she's not verified. So she's definitely sort of, you know,
what?
Coming out
she's
of
not
a,
verified. Well, why are we even talking about her?
She's coming out, you know, she's not a very well-known queen yet. So this is definitely going to be like her first time on a main stage. So I'm hoping that she's ready to swim with the big sharks, because like you said earlier, Liana, there are five queens from New York City and we know how that story goes. So.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. All right. Come through, Ms. Zane. Let's see what you got. Before we move on to our next queen, the comment about the Meet the Queens videos, I believe. Now, I don't know where I heard this, but I've heard this said by multiple people and still said to this day that the Meet the Queens videos are filmed after the season. So you can read into certain things like their energy and the things that they say as potential indicators of how they do. So I really hate that that is potentially.
No! Well, what did you tell us that? I didn't know that.
I thought that was like common knowledge.
No, it's not common knowledge. I didn't know that.
Oh, I lied.
They already have such problems with all these leaks. And they can't even record. Like, why don't you just record these like the day of the shooting of the first season or the first episode?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Like, why not have them come into the workroom and then have them then
film
do
the video.
It? Like,
yeah,
I don't understand.
Like,
that's
they're,
so
they're
stupid.
There. Why can't you just do it? Okay, maybe that's wrong because I was listening to Psychobabble, which is the Tyler Oakley, Corey Cool podcast. Yeah. And they were talking about it too, so I don't know. It could be wrong because they didn't know. But yes, I mean, obviously they had definitely met each other because even they film another video that's they do impressions of one another. So clearly they had to have talked to one another in order to be able to actually do the impressions. But
yeah, and right. You're not gonna just I have to believe that you're correct because you're not going to do impressions of each other after meeting someone for like a minute. Like you're going to have to spend time with somebody in order to feel like you can actually make fun of them or do impressions of them. So I'm inclined to believe you're correct, but nevertheless, I can't tell who was the winner of the season or who even makes it based on any of the Meet the Queens. I thought that they all had a really fun energy, but I just think Aiden at her core is generally a more low energy person. And whether she is the first person out or not, I would have always said that based on her personality alone.
Yeah, that's definitely very true. All right, Brent. So let's talk about the next queen, Britta, or Britta Filter, but we don't have the rights to Britta Filter, so we're just going Britta.
It's going to be Britta because I this has happened before in RuPaul's Drag Race where like some queen came on and like Alaska was Alaska Thunderfuck for I don't know how long, and then she came on to RuPaul's Drag Race and now she's just Alaska and everything she does is Alaska, and occasionally like they do use the Thunderfuck, but it's not. It's Alaska. So Britta.
Can I say something real quick?
Yes.
Did I ever tell you guys about this story? I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast before, but I'm from Pittsburgh. Alaska's from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
It was like 2011. I'm downtown waiting to catch the bus home.
Did you fuck
it's like
her?
Saturday night.
Did you?
Because I
know
like,
what I'm just gonna,
he has that
gonna,
like really big thing. So I'm just saying. Okay, moving on. Yeah, go ahead. Finish your story.
I think I would have been too young for him at the time.
Okay,
but,
yeah, that's right. Okay, that's true. Yeah,
she. I didn't know what was going on. I was waiting for the bus, and across the street, I hear like this boom, boom, boom coming from a club, and then somebody opens the door as they're coming out, and then this voice comes out, and I'm like, "Hello, my name is Alaska Thunderfuck 5000," and I'm like, "What?
Oh my
the
God,
fuck
yes.
is going on?"
Oh,
and then
go ahead, sorry,
and then now like. Like 3 years later, she's on Drag Race, and I'm like, "Oh my God, I heard her! Like that, I know that person." It was insane.
That's so funny. I forgot about the 5000 part. Yeah, Alaska Thunderfuck 5000. That is her name. Yes, but I said, nobody ever says that. If you're referring to her, like 99% of the people that refer to Alaska, it's Alaska. So Britta, I love you, but it's not Britta Filter anymore. It's Britta. And let's talk about Britta. Oh my God, like I feel like this could be one of the final four. Mm-hmm. She is so amazing. She's got such an amazing personality. She's whip smart. She's funny. She's got great wit about her. She is just like polished to a T. Amon, I love Britta. And I feel like, gosh, she could definitely win.
She was giving me a lot of like, I was getting like a Bianca Del Rio type deal from her.
Yeah.
And not in like the insult comic type way, but just the polish.
Yeah,
just
the
that
polish.
She knows what she's doing. She's been around for a bit. She's 34 years old. She's from NYC. I was watching a couple of her videos on her Instagram, and she just has like that nature of like, I know who the hell I am. None of these new girls can really tell me shit. Like, she just seems very, very comfortable, but also very fresh and very new at the same time. And this is the first time that she ever auditioned and she got on. I think somebody said that she was on an episode of Broad City or something like that. So she's definitely been in the business. So she's gorgeous. She's like, that's a woman. That is a woman, baby. Like, and she is verified on Instagram.
That's how we can tell. Yeah. I loved her too. I stan in my notes. She just had so much energy. You can tell she absolutely loves to perform. I know that she mentioned that she was scared for the sewing, but I feel like she's the type of queen that may make a garbage garment, but she'll be able to get by on her personality. So I'm actually not that worried for her.
Right.
And the whole idea that she wasn't going to apply until she thought she could win. I mean, I think, like, she could win. I could definitely see Britta taking home the crown in this season.
Yeah, I love that too. I love that she's like, you know what? I'm not going to go for it until I think I can win, and then I'm going to go for it. And she did it, and I do feel like she can win. I love the way she paints too. I also love her personality. Like, in the Meet the Queens video, she had this thing where she was talking and like she brushed her hair to the left side and then she brushed her hair to the right side, but there was no hair on her right side. She's like, oh, there's no hair there. She's just got such a great, fun energy, and it's impossible not to like her. The great thing about her is, yeah, she has some polish, but I never felt like she couldn't be taught. I never felt like she was a little bitchy. I always felt like she had a warm, inviting personality, and she just wants to go out there and kill it and make us laugh and entertain us, and I am so here for that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, she just has so much charisma. Like, it just oozes through the screen.
Yes, it does. Wow. Like,
she's,
and it's
Polynesian.
Such, like, especially,
and I really like
back.
That she called...
Oh, no, go ahead. Sorry. No, go. You can talk. You are a permanent guest, a permanent host now. You can talk whenever you want.
Just cut him off. It's fine.
I was just going to say that she's Polynesian, and so I really like the fact that she refers to herself as the Moana of Manhattan. I think that that's a nice little moniker.
I miss that. That's so cool. Yeah. I love that.
That's really cute. That's really cute. Yeah. She's a New York queen.
Leona, I think that's a good point, because if you are not sure about who's going to win or get to the end of RuPaul's Drag Race, basically everybody who has New York next to their name, give them a little plus. Okay. Like, that doesn't mean they're going to win, but that means they've got a leg up on the competition, in my opinion, because if you make it onto RuPaul's Drag Race and you're from New York, that means that RuPaul has seen something really amazingly special in you, because you don't even know how many queens from New York apply to be on the show. And if RuPaul picked you out, that means you are amazing. Mm-hmm. So I can't wait to see what she does.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Britta. Okay, so let's talk about Crystal Method, is I think how you say her name. 28 uh-huh. from Springfield, Missouri, and she describes herself as the unique queen, which you can't just say that you're unique. Like, that's you. That describes so many different queens. That's why we call it charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent. But okay, girl. She reminded me of, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the artist Melanie Martinez. Like, she did kind of come across as a doll, just like very sort of cartoonish in a way. And, you know, talks about her inspirations being from Club Kids, which you can totally see in her looks, and has that signature clown lip, which again sort of reminds me of Aiden Zane's eye makeup. I was like, ooh, this might get criticized, but it is cool that it's her thing. So I don't know. I'm kind of middle of the road on Crystal. Amon, do you feel the same way?
I mean, I appreciate the Club Kid influences in the drag, because it is a little boring over and over again to see so many polished, you know, fishy queens. So I like to see a little pop, a little glam, a little flair. But I did also take note of the fact that she was emphasizing just how unique that she was. And I was like, okay, like, I feel like if you have to say that, then you're trying to convince yourself more than anybody else. But I mean, she seems sweet. She seems cool. I don't really feel about her one way or the other yet, though.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. The thing that jumped out at me, which I'm sure anybody who watched the Meet the Queens video, is the lip, the signature makeup. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of, like, have you ever been trick-or-treating and you get these, like, wax lips at the bottom of your trick-or-treat box? That's exactly what she has. And she makes a joke in her Meet the Queens video that, like, every time she does this makeup, it's amazing because even if she's sad, she looks happy. And I'm like, I suppose that's kind of cool, but we want to see you. We want to see the real you. We don't want to see any, like, fake veneers. And there were a couple queens here where I felt like we weren't getting the real them. I felt like they were sort of putting on an act. I didn't necessarily get that with Crystal, but I just want to make sure that she has the ability to be versatile with her makeup, because here's the thing, her personality didn't jump out to me enough to make it seem like, okay, they're gonna love her for that, which means they have to love her for something else. And if your personality is a little muted and your look isn't all that special, then you're going to get picked at by Michelle. So I do worry about her as well.
She seems to be really, really big on accessorizing and adding so many trinkets to her look. So just based off of her Instagram, it just seems like if there's one thing that she's going to be good at, it's just, you know, being on the runway. And she's going to bring you the theme. Whatever you ask for, I feel like she'll be able to give it to you.
Okay, well, if she can play the game, that's good, because there's a lot of queens. I mean, we've talked about this before, how many great drag queens in the universe there are who are just not good at RuPaul's Drag Race. There is a specific set of challenges and tasks that you have to be good at in order to be good at the show. And if you can't play the game, you're just not going to get anywhere. So if she's good at the game, it will at least grant her a few episodes.
Oh, she's a Sailor Moon fan. Okay, I stand.
That makes
okay.
sense.
We stand.
I can see her special talent being accessorizing. This is what I'm going to perform. Right?
This is the queen that Michelle's going to be like, you know what? That look would have been so amazing if you could have just removed one accessory. Just remove the bangles. Just remove the necklace. Like, I can already hear it.
Yeah, look in the mirror and take one thing off. But she seems to have really great attention to detail, and that's something that I personally appreciate. I don't know if the judges necessarily will, but yeah, I could see her as sort of a middle of the road potentially type queen, but I'm excited to get to know her as the season progresses.
Yeah, me too. By the way, I love her little pearls in her hair. She has, like, tons of pearl necklaces on, which she's like a thrifty queen, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so she, like, you know, she didn't pay a lot of money for these, but yet that wig looks amazing because she has, like, pearls all throughout it to accent her necklace. Also pearls on her hose as well, which is not as unique, but still very cool. I love the whole concept of the look, but show me more.
All right, so next we have... Oh, is that Aja? No. It is Dahlia Sin. Although Aja is her drag mother. And the first time I looked at her, I was like, I legit thought that it was Aja back on our screen. But Dahlia Sin is here from LA. She's 28 years old. Like I said, Aja is her drag mother, and it shows. But she talks about herself being the fierce and petty queen, Brent.
Look, so I can't remember who it was. I really should be more prepared. But it was like Aja, or maybe it was Trinity. Somebody said on Twitter after the cast was released, you know, nobody is this year's Monet Exchange. Nobody is this year's Trinity. Everybody is their own unique queen. We should celebrate everybody for their own uniqueness. You better work, girl. And I'm like... girl, please. Like, come on. Like, you cannot look at this queen and not tell me that she's, like, Aja inspired. I mean, when I looked at her, I said the same thing, and I listened to her. I listened to her, and I said, she's this year's Aja. Now, look, she may grow beyond that, but from us looking at her from the outside, evaluating her in a, you know, 3-minute video, like, it looks like Aja, and so she's going to have to show us more than that. And there are other queens who are guilty of that as well. Like, you look at them and you instantly think of somebody. That's how meta RuPaul's Drag Race has gotten. So I hate it when people give me that very sort of, like, woke feeling of, oh, well, everybody has to be celebrated for their own uniqueness. Like, everybody takes inspiration from everybody else. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that somebody some people take it more than others, and Dahlia definitely takes from Aja because that's all I get from her. So I can't wait to see more of what she has. She's definitely bringing me fire. Like, if I was ever a drag queen and I got onto RuPaul's Drag Race, this is what I would be like. I'd be a bitch in the Meet the Queens video, and I'd be letting people have it and say, like, some people think I'm a bitch, but I'm not, but I can't, but I am sort of really kind of a bitch. And like, I'm like, oh yeah, you are definitely petty, and I'm here for it. So like, she's gonna bring me fire, she's gonna bring me fun times on RuPaul's Drag Race, but she's gotta survive as well. And I think that with that kind of fire, she probably can.
So actually, I wanted to say, I can't remember also who did the original tweet about, oh, you know, the queens are unique, they're themselves, but Pheromone retweeted, and I think she said something along the lines of, and then me over here, which one's the next Pheromone? She was all about embracing it. So yeah, yes. It happens, you know, and when your drag mother is literally Aja, like, of course that's gonna happen.
Yeah.
But
I wasn't even aware that Alia was popping out, or Alia, what the hell am I on? I wasn't even aware that Aja was popping out babies. Drag families are so interesting to me because I'm pretty sure Aja is my age, which would make her younger than Dahlia Sin. So it's interesting that somebody younger than you can be your drag mom. I love that. But I guess this is probably going to be the villain of the season. I mean, every season has one. Every season needs one. And she was the only one to really talk about, you know, being a bit of a petty person. Like, that's just code word for bitch. But I'm excited. I think that she's gorgeous. She obviously looks like Aja. You can see the resemblance. You can see the way that they paint. It's there. But I thought what was interesting was that she described herself as both Banji and Kawaii. Those are two, like, types of brands and swag that don't often intermingle with one another. So I'm really excited to see how that translates. She says that she's super duper inspired by Rihanna. You can tell, bitch. You can tell. Just scroll all the way through that Instagram. You can see so many of those, like, corseted, like, slight S&M type deal. Like, she is, like, mid 2010s Rihanna, like, to the T. And I'm here for it. Like, and if she can, she talked about being the trade of the season. And so I went to go see her as a boy. Listen, 10 out of 10. Just 10 out of 10.
Oh,
like,
really?
I would swipe all the way. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go look at her now. Hold on.
Definitely. With the beard, yeah. Not so much without the beard. She's still cute without the beard, but with the beard, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
You know, I open my Instagram and Michael Yerger from Survivor pops up every fucking time. I guess that says a lot more about me than it does about anything else.
Yeah, right. Okay,
Dahlia Sin. All right. Go ahead, Liana. Sorry.
Rihanna for sure is what I get from her. And I love that she says that she always wants to be changing her makeup and looking fresh. The only concern is that if it comes off as unpolished. But from what we've seen so far, it seems like that she can do a lot of different things. I'm really actually looking forward to her on this season.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm living for her on this season. I'm like, she's going to be the bitch who, like, people get a little upset with, but then when she's gone, it's going to be like Gia Gunn, where it's like, oh, now it's boring. Like,
we miss her.
Yeah, we miss her. Where's she at?
Miss her. Okay, any reports on the trade rating, Brent?
He is absolutely stunning, gorgeous. Like, the funny part is, as a boy, he reminds me of Aja. Like, I mean, it's quite amazing. I love it that as a boy and a girl, they seem very similar.
Yeah. I mean, like, her butt's amazing. And his butt's
amazing.
I know,
right? It's just not fair.
So I got to go do some squats, BRB, fam. All right, let's talk about Gigi Good from LA at 29 years old. And I think she is Morgan McMichael. Is she the one that's Morgan McMichael's drag daughter? But she is the life-sized doll and started performing at 15. Although I didn't really get this story. It was at substance-free places that were also rock walls. Gyms, I don't know. I didn't quite understand it, but it seems like she's been doing this for a very long time. She's been doing it since she was 15.
I didn't get that either. I was with you in terms of not understanding. So I was like, it's an NA meeting that's taking place at a church or a gym? Like, I guess. Like,
but
I've been there,
also
girl.
Rock
I've been there.
Walls.
Yeah. So she really is the drag daughter of Morgan McMichaels. Is that true?
Yeah, I think so. One of them is.
She, by the way, has to be her then, because like that's all I got when I looked at her was Morgan McMichaels. Mm-hmm. Like same paint, same everything. In fact, I thought it was like a cross between Morgan McMichaels and Cameron Michaels. Like I thought that she's a look queen. Yeah. She's a look queen. She's going to be there. She's going to make it a little too far. She's going to annoy us, and then she's going to get eliminated. Like she's not going to win the season. She doesn't have the personality for it, I don't think. She seems a little boring to me. I don't even like the whole GG good or like with the G's and all that. Like she's got the G around her belt, and I'm like, get over yourself, whatever. But fine, like you can be that way, but I still need more personality. If you're like, either be a bitch or have more personality like Britta, but I'm not really getting either.
Yeah, I think you really hit the nail on the head for me with her, because she's very pretty. Obviously she loves the fashion. Her Instagram is just like, she looks like a 90s supermodel to me. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, in her Meet the Queens video, she's talking about, oh yeah, like, well, people will always say that I'm a look queen, but I also have personality, and I can dance, and I can sing, like, I can perform. And I'm like, well, where is it? Where is it? Like, I don't see it, girl. Like, and I feel like, it's the same thing. Like, if you have to say it, then it's probably not that true. And I really feel like I want to be wrong, because I hate when queens do this. I was so furious with Cameron Michaels. I want for these queens to be hungry and fight for it and be tenacious and show personality and show drive and show passion. I don't want to have to be annoyed with a queen that's obviously beautiful that can like maybe turn out one quick lip sync real quick, but she should have been gone forever ago. And if we get this from her, I'm going to be so mad. I feel like I'm already mad and I don't even know if the outcome is yet.
Hasn't happened yet. Just take a deep breath. Get a bag if you need to breathe into. We're all going to be okay. It's so funny though, because even in her urban streetwear look, the red wig, it was just immediate. It was very much Cameron Michaels flashbacks for a brief, brief moment.
Yeah,
she's got this whole totally. Mary Queen of Scots vibe going on with like so much plaid. So many different colors of plaid. I did not even know that existed. But we'll see.
I feel like she's the girl. She's like one of the queens that, and we haven't gotten to her yet, but Sherry Pie mentions her, like this type of queen. She's like, oh, I feel like there's so many queens now that are just like, look, all about being skinny, all about being look queens, all about looking pretty for Instagram. And that's fun and everything, but I want something more. And I just feel like, I mean, she's young, she's 21 years old, and I just feel like she's that new age of drag queen that is, you know, getting by on the Instagram fame, which is, you know, a success within its own right. I mean, you're getting paid for it, like she's making bank, but what else is mm-hmm. there?
Yeah, you're not gonna survive on RuPaul's Drag Race if you're just good on Instagram. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Right. And then to say you're the life-size doll, but then claim that you can sing and dance and perform. Okay, do you have a little rope that we can pull in the back that will do the performing for us? Because that's not what dolls do. But it's okay. I'm looking forward to see hopefully what she'll bring. Hopefully she'll prove us wrong. But, you know, we'll see.
Yep. I'm not holding out hope.
Not holding up hope either. Yeah, but. All right, Heidi in Closet is our next queen here. She's 24 years old from North Carolina. I did think a little Mayhem Miller vibe when I first saw her, just based on the way that she looks, but it seems that she is really, I don't know, I really liked her. Brent, what do you think?
A little bit of an oddball. Yeah, I'm still waiting. I'm still not sure about this one. I think her personality was a little bit lacking, but then she like sparked at a few different times based on what she was talking about. She thinks she's hilarious, which always makes me giggle when queens think they are funnier than what they actually are. I agree with your assessment, especially in the reveal look that I was getting Mayhem Miller. On the other hand, her initial look of Heidi in Closet with like the red, white, and blue theme, I wasn't getting any sort of Mayhem. So I don't know if it was just like with the urban streetwear theme that was lending itself in the wig in particular that was giving me more Mayhem. This is one queen that is a giant question mark for me. And I don't mean to be cliche. We do these podcasts and we give our opinions. There are some queens that I have definite opinions about. This is not one of them. I mean, she could literally be the first person out. She could also go a really long way and surprise us like Jinx Monsoon. Like I feel like there's more waiting to be discovered from Heidi. And I, I'm excited about it, but I'm also a little annoyed that I couldn't figure out more about her than what was apparent to me in the Meet the Queens video. Like, so many queens, I instantly got who they were and what they were from their Meet the Queens video. This queen, I couldn't really get what she was. Amon, did you have a different take than me?
No, pretty similar. I mean, she said that she started taking drag seriously, I think, like 2-3 years ago.
Oh, she was the queen who said that. Okay, yeah. All right.
And you can definitely tell. Like, I did it for all the queens, so I scrolled all the way back to as far as I could go. And yeah, like, you can tell that it was very amateurish in the beginning, and now it's a little bit more polished, but she doesn't seem like I feel like she's a pageant girl, and I feel like she feels like that's all that you really need. And that's just not the case. There's nothing that that stands out from her to me right now. I'm just sort of like,
yeah, right. She was one of the other queens that said that she was intimidated, which may not necessarily bode well, but she did really talk about her strength in the pageant background and that she likes to dance. Not so much on the fashion side, more about the performance. And she also said she wasn't here for drama, which as a human being, I get. As a viewer of reality TV, I do not get because I want to be entertained with some drama. So I don't know if she'll be able to deliver in that department.
Yeah. So to me, giant question mark, we're waiting to see. Show me more, to be continued.
Speaking of show me more, let's talk about Jackie Cox from 34 years old from New York City. Amon, how do you feel about Jackie?
Jackie Cox. I love the fact that she referred to herself as Canadian-Iranian. It's like she's Canadian Iranian. So it's I'm glad that we're getting some more representation on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah, first person of Iranian heritage on RuPaul's Drag Race, so she says.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I loved her urban streetwear look with the hijab. I thought that was just a very nice touch. And she's also, you know, she's an older queen, she's 34. And I feel like she's very, very sweet. Like she was a very supportive. She had a very supportive tone in her Meet the Queens video, because she was just like, I just want everybody to be really excited about this season. I want us all to slay. I want everybody to see what these queens are offering, because we're really here to give you a show. And so I'm hoping that she's around for a while, because I just like her personality. And I think that she's I think she's interesting so far. I like her.
Nah, I'm going to be real with you. I did not respond positively to this one at all. I thought she was boring. I thought it was like a less bland or a more bland Miss Cracker. Like I didn't get much from her. I also didn't buy the fact that she was like, oh, I didn't realize that like after I made my drag name that it could have maybe been in double entendre and might sound a little bit, you know, sexy, like everything about her, it seemed to me a little bit put on. And I got that from a couple of different people. Someone else will talk about it. I felt like it was a little put on, but I really thought like this person to me at her max, Jackie Cox is like mid jury, and at her worst, she could be the first person out. Like I wasn't impressed with Jackie. She seemed like she was being cautiously optimistic in her Meet the Queens video. And if they are taped after the fact, then that leads me to believe that either, I mean, like, yeah, you could say, oh, she's the winner and she's just pretending like she didn't do well so that she totally fools us. Please, these queens are not that good. Like, there's no way. Like, if she's acting like this, then it's probably pretty safe that she's not the winner, and she's like probably doesn't even do as well as she thought she should have done. So, Liana, did you like her?
I'm nervous. I'm nervous. Yeah. I'm nervous for her. She also talks in the video about that she's scared to push herself too far, which also really makes me nervous. Now, the problem that I'm facing is that as a person, I really loved her. I love, like, she's Iranian, which to come on the show, I mean, that's really great. I'm super happy that she's here. I love the fact that she says, I'm not part of the New York City nightlife. I'm part of the evening life.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
I thought that was really cute.
Yes. Like, as somebody who, like, falls asleep by, like, 11 o'clock sometimes.
She said,
like,
oh, I'm usually in bed by 10. I see you, girl. Me too. And she's just a campy, fun queen. But I do see your concerns, Brent, and I can see where you're coming from, because I don't think that she is necessarily long for the Drag Race world. But that being said, as a person, I would absolutely love to be her best friend. So it's really conflicting for me when I'm evaluating how she's going to do. Like, on one hand, yeah, I really love her. But on the other hand, I see a lot of red flags. So,
well, maybe she's a Miss Congeniality.
Yeah, exactly.
Possibility.
Okay, let's,
depending on how long she stays.
Right, if she's there long enough to convince people, then we'll see. But I don't know if that will necessarily happen. Okay, Jada Essence Hall is our next queen, 32, from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and she describes herself the essence of beauty and wants to be hyper feminine blah, in drag. I really liked her, actually. She was maybe
loved
a little
her.
Boring, but I thought that she was just so charismatic. She came off the screen and really, really popped for me. Brent, seems like you have some feelings about her.
Love her. I think she's guaranteed top four. I think she is amazing. I love her so much. She reminded me so much of the polish of Akira C. Davenport. I got like pageant queen from this girl. And she was like, there's something wrong with being a pageant queen. I'm like, who said there's something wrong with being a pageant queen? Like, I love pageant queens. They always like, sometimes you can be surprised with pageant queens. Like Trinity was a pageant queen like way back in the day. And I remember they were like so surprised that she actually had a personality. I'm like, you have to have personality and chops to make it through the interview portion. A lot of people don't understand what pageants are. There's always like an interview portion where you have to impress the judges with your knowledge and the depth and breadth of your personality. And she does that for me. She was astounding to watch in the Meet the Queens video. I loved her personality. She had just the right amount of snark and intelligence and wit about her to like keep me entertained. And she knew that it was like also a television show. So she's also trying to keep it light, keep it fun, keep it snappy. Ugh, like, come on. I love her.
She has talent. Like, she designed the promo look for herself, and she also designed her urban theme and created it. So like, she knows what the hell she's doing. She knows how to conceptualize a look and then turn it out. She said, if my eyes were closed and I was watching her Meet the Queens video, I would have thought that was Shangela. She sounds just like Shangela. I don't know if you guys have heard it, but like I was like, is that what's going on here? Like, she's I'm really interested in her, because I feel like she's one of those people that is very reserved, but will also give you you know, a little drama. She'll give you a little flair. And I feel like she's gonna be one of these people that ends up like getting high to mid high in all of the competitions, and in that one week that she's in the bottom and she has to lip sync, that lip sync is like the lip sync of the season. Like, I just see it in the future for her.
Yeah, Leona, really, by the way, have you looked at her? I know you have, but they're like the reveal look compared to the Meet the Queens promo look. Like, it is like, of the queens who we are looking at, to me, this is one of the most different. She has such a different style in both the looks and just the way she holds her body and the way she does her makeup. Everything about it like says to me versatility. That's the other thing you get from pageant queens, is they know how to paint different looks. So I'm excited for her. I really, really am. I'm hoping that she doesn't fall on her face.
I hope so too. And her Instagram shows the same thing. I'm looking at it right now, and you can definitely tell the diversity of looks, that she's not a one trick pony, and she will be bringing it on the runway. And I think in the challenges too, she just has such a strong personality. I'm looking forward to seeing what she'll do. Now, the big question is, will she come back in a box next season if she truly is our Shangela here? Which I hear it. I hear it in the voice. That's what you're saying, Amon, right? It's like the way that she sounds.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the hell is going on here? Mm-hmm.
I hear it. All right, Amon, do you own a backpack? Because we're about to talk about Jan Sport. But like we talk with Britta, just Jan.
This is so funny that they're really making them chop parts of their names off for this show. It's hilarious. She's Alexis Michelle's daughter. And if that is any indication of how she's going to be acting on this show, I won't like her. I was not a big fan of Alexis Michelle. I don't know. But she is a pop music fan. And Those are my people right there. Like, if there are categories of gays, okay? There are your Disney gays, and there are your pop star gays, and I happen to fall in both those categories, and so is she, and so we are sistren, okay? So she's got that going for her. I like the fact that she's a singer. She's also from NYC, right?
Yep.
So there you go. It's like she, so you know that she can perform. And she just seems, she seemed very, very bubbly and very, very like in it to win it. So I like her.
Yeah, it's so, so hard far. When, like, especially when they are the daughters of previous contestants. I find myself sort of lumping them into where their previous mothers finished. So I'm looking at her, I'm going like, oh, she's probably going to be like sixth or fifth. Like, she's like sort of in that category. And then I'm realizing, like, I'm just putting her where Alexis Michelle finished. So, like, I loved her in the Meet the Queens video. I thought she had great, fun personality. She jumped off the screen. She has so much charisma. And then I found out she was Alexis Michelle's daughter. And I was like, I love you even more. More because, like, here's the thing. Like, I also didn't love Alexis Michelle when she was on the season, and I know I was railing about her on this podcast, but also she made that season so fun. Like, you have to have heroes and villains on TV shows in order for them to be interesting. You have to have light and shade, and I feel like if she can give us just a little bit of that, like, we're going to be all the better for it. So I am so here for Jan. I love the fact that she was the backpack before she decided to come on RuPaul's Drag Race, and now she's just Jan, and she was like, I was the backpack, but also now I'm just Jan. Like, I love the Brady Bunch. So there's also that as well. And I'm like, it's not a copyright as well. So how can she be like, why are they so upset about the one and not the other? Like, oh, whatever. So
like, sure,
yeah.
Jan.
Yeah, sure, Jan. Like, how many times are we going to say that every time she falls on her face or says something that pisses people off? It's sure, Jan. Okay.
Yeah, sure, Jan. She is a queen that initially when I first looked at her pictures, meh. Was what I thought. But then when I started watching her videos, she is crazy confident. Oh my gosh. And I loved her personality. I don't know how long she'll last just based on the potentially the technical aspects of the show. But if you're looking for a character, Jan definitely seems to be it.
Which is so funny because that's what Alexis Michelle was. Like, I mean, we liked her looks. They were okay, but they were a little boring, a little bit like drag queen paint by numbers, like ABC kind of, like, that's what a drag queen supposed to look like from New York City kind of thing. And then her personality was like, oh wow, she's actually got some fire behind her. So like, I am so here for Jan, and if she can put together just a few looks, and again, is she a drag athlete, meaning can she compete in the challenges that RuPaul's Drag Race presents? RuPaul said before the season that our producers, and again, this is like Jeff Probst saying like this is the best season ever, but RuPaul's Drag Race was like, you know, our producers have come up with new and challenging tasks for the contestants to do to see who really has the charisma, uniqueness, nerve, and talent to win this season. And if she can like do those challenges in a way that really makes RuPaul happy, she could go a long way. I feel good about Jan. In fact, I even feel like top four. I feel great about Jan. I love her personality. She makes me smile. And I just felt like there was no getting anything past her. Every time she was talking or being asked questions in the Meet the Queens video, she said something to me that was illuminating or made me feel like, okay, you're not just giving a cliche or a stock answer. You're actually answering the question, giving us something substantive. And I love that.
I love that she also replaces words with her own name. So genuinely became genuinely. That's something I think Mike Bloom would also like. So Mike, maybe you're a Jan fan. Jan fan.
I mean, if Rue can do it.
Oh, if Rue can do it, yeah, she can do it too. All right, Jan stands. Let's move on to Nikki Doll, who is currently living in New York City, 28 years old, from Paris, France, originally. Brent.
I mean, come on. This is amazing. Like, I am so psyched to see Nikki Doll compete on RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, I didn't know who Nikki Doll was before, but the accent alone just... it sends me, Aman. It absolutely sends me. I don't know what she looks like as a boy, but oh my God, as a girl, she is absolutely stunning. I am so here for the Fascinator. I love the sort of stripes and geometrics she does with the Meet the Queens promo looks. But then how different does she look than in the reveal look? Like, that is amazing to me that is the same person. I love the fact that she has a really interesting mix of femmy, fishy drag, but also also like sex and S&M in the reveal look. Like, I'm so psyched for it. She's so smart and she just makes me happy when she talks, and you know that they're gonna go for the accent, like, and the fascinator, like, come on, like, this is amazing. Like, come on. And she is from Paris, right? Like, she's from originally from Paris, France, and now she's in New York City. Gosh, I'm so excited for this. I really hope she doesn't crash and burn, because I feel like she could, but I don't think she will.
Yeah, I'm very excited for her. I mean, she's the exchange student, right? Like, she's, you know, everybody wants to get to know her. Everybody wants to know about her upbringing and where she's from. She said that she lived in Morocco as well for 7 years, but, and then she went back to France. So, like, she's cultured, she's aware. And I liked what she said in the video, where she said when she really started getting into drag, she said, I felt like I really became a man when I started acting like a woman. So I just feel like she's a very, she's an intellectual. Darling, I feel like she will always have something interesting to say. And she's, I like the fact that she's a bit, I mean, French people have like this stereotype of being a bit rude. You know what I mean? And I feel like that works for her. Like, I feel like I don't need her to be in your face all the time. I feel like she has like a lot of power in, you know, being a bit standoffish. And I think that will do well for her. I mean, and like you said, they're going to have a field day with subtitles. There's probably going to be a few things that are like lost in translation, literally, with her. And I am, I'm here for it.
I love her. I'm really excited. She's gorgeous, first of all, which just, if I looked 1 ounce like you, my God, I'm really, really excited for what she's going to bring on the runways. That's the first thing that stood out to me, just based on seeing all of her looks, like looking through her Instagram. And then, like you mentioned, Brent, the disparity between the two styles that she did for the urban streetwear look and for the promo look with the red, white and blue thing, that fascinator. But whether or not she'll be able to stand up in all of the variety of the challenges that we'll see, I think that's what makes me a little bit nervous. So while I am very excited, I'm hesitantly excited, I guess, just because who knows what insanity she'll be thrown into. And I don't know how super familiar or comfortable she would feel with the variety of challenges that we see on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay, so there's like video games and like slot machines that I play where like you go to the bonus round and you have like lifesavers, right? Okay, like that, like if you perform badly in the video game or the slot, like you'll get like a lifesaver and you get to start over, right? There are some queens up here like Jackie Cox and Aiden Jane that I do not feel like have any lifesavers. They're not interesting enough that if they perform badly that RuPaul is going to save them. I feel like Nikki Doll has like 3 lifesavers. Okay. Like she's so interesting and so fun that even if she performs badly a couple of times, we're still going to give her like the Latrice and All-Stars thing where like we love her so much that like we're kind of going to just look past all that like failure and because we love her anyway. Like we want her to do well. And there's nobody who doesn't look at her and go, wow, she's amazing. So I feel like RuPaul's also going to be very taken with her. The judges are going to be very taken with her, and she's going to get a few lifesavers, a few mulligans, but then she's going to have to put up. So if she can't get it together, I share your concern, Liana, but I feel good. I really do feel good. She seemed quietly confident in the Meet the Queens video, so I'm hoping that spells success for RuPaul's Drag Race.
Okay.
And she's also stunning as a boy, too.
Oh, yes. Well, there's that as well. Yes.
Yes. Stunning.
Stunning.
Rock'em Sakura is our next queen competing this season. 28 from San Francisco. Very anime, J-pop, manga queen. Yes. Amon.
Yeah, wait, before we go to Amon, can we give her intro? So this is Rock'em Sakura.
Hi, okay. I'm Rock'em Sakura. I'm 28 years old and I'm from San Francisco, California. And I'm your anime, J-pop, manga queen.
Yay!
Oh, good. You don't even need me. Let's just play the videos. That's perfect. I'm fine with that.
That was the only one I had ready to go because she just made me laugh so much. And I'm like, we have to play that on the show.
It.
She's so great.
I love it.
Okay, go, Amon.
I love all things Japanese. There is a special place in my heart for Miss Rock'em Sakura. She is just a walking manga. She's a walking mm-hmm. manga strip. I also, like, I feel like she just, in her intro video, she's very, like, stream of consciousness. I feel like she always just says whatever it is she's thinking at that exact moment. And I love unfiltered queens like that. And she, I mean, she's an artist as well. Like, she can draw. So I feel like she's one of those conceptual queens that really thinks about not only her makeup, but how makeup, like, works with the look and with the fashion of it all. And everything is very, very, like, very animated, very high art, very, like, in your face, intense, surreal. Like, it pops out at you, like, literally like a manga strip. So I'm really, really excited. What I thought was interesting, though, was that she referred to Rock'em Sakura as her daughter, as opposed to her alter ego, which I felt like, I don't think I've ever heard a queen refer to their other ego as a child. So that was interesting to me. Like, she, I guess, like, I can understand, like, having, like, treating, like, drag the art form as your baby, but to refer to yourself as your baby, it was kind of threw me off. But I'm excited because Team Japan. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, this one made me smile, but of course I want to be real, you know, like, I'm a stupid American, so I look at her and I'm like, oh, it's kimchi. Like, but can you be more than kimchi? Can you be more than soju? And I think she can. I really am excited about Rock'em. The one thing that I agree with you about Amon is, like, her stream of consciousness made me laugh and LOL so much, and I'm hoping that sort of fun, like, playful personality really helps to keep her around on RuPaul's Drag Race. Again, if you have things in your repertoire that make RuPaul laugh or keep RuPaul interested, then I do feel like you get, like, a lifeline to some of these challenges. And I feel like she has that, but not a lot. She's really going to have to perform. If she can, I feel like she could go a long way. But I do feel like that, like, in some ways, like, I don't feel as confident about her because I guess I've just, like, with Kimchi, I never believed she could win. And with Soju, I was obviously terribly disappointed. So I'm hoping...
Oh my God, what a mess that was.
I know. But I'm hoping that with Rock'em that we can finally get some promise from the anime sort of drag queen that we've been promised. And if we can get that, then I'll be very happy.
She just was a joy to watch in the Meet the Queens video.
Yes.
And that's what really stood out to me about her. I mean, which is insane to say, because like Amon said, she looks like a freaking character. I mean, such a manga character just popping out of the screen. But her personality sort of reminded me of Ellie Kemper from The Office and Kimmy Schmidt, the actress. Just the positive, just unbridled positivity, eyes wide open, so excited to be there. The stream of consciousness, like you guys said, was just entertaining. I don't know if she's going to be on for very long, but while she is, I'm going to enjoy her, I think, as a really positive, refreshing presence.
Yeah, I just sent you all some amazing picture of Rock'em when she's a boy, and she's so freaking cute. Oh my God.
Cake,
like,
baby.
I would hit that in a heartbeat. That is so gorgeous. Like, she's just like, like, look at that ass. Like, sorry, if you gotta go to Rock'em Sakura, I keep saying Rock'em Sakura. If you gotta go to Rock'em Sakura's Instagram in order to see this, this is like from when she hit like 30,000 followers, but it really cracks me up. Go ahead, Liana.
This is a post from January 28th. Soju commented, bitch. And the official RuPaul Drag Race commented, suns out, buns out.
Yes. What a great smile. So I love it. Yeah.
I'm excited. I don't necessarily think she's going to be final four. I could be wrong, but for every moment that she's on the screen, I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, cool.
Let's eat some sherry pie. That is our next queen, 27 years old from New York City. Although 27, she paints older. Yes, Brent, that's what I'm getting.
Oh, yeah. Okay. She's painting about 10 years on herself there. Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, what the hell is going on with that?
When I saw that she's 27 years old, I was like, no freaking way.
No way.
No way. But then I no, it's just the paint.
Yeah, no, and Rue's going to hate that. I before you even go, like, I'm going to tell you right now, I did not respond positively. This is like the one New York queen that I'm like, I really don't know how you made it on the show. Like, maybe there's more to it than I'm missing, but I felt like her Meet the Queens video was cliche after cliche. It was like stamp answer after stamp answer. Like, I didn't feel like I was getting anything real from Sherry. I got nothing from her that I felt like was substantive. I felt like it was put on. It wasn't real. I didn't respond well to it. And I think she could be easily like first jury boot, like, which is like a ninth place or so. Like, I didn't feel good about Sherry Pie. Like, she's gonna have to, like, even to me, her personality wasn't that inviting. And it, like, the way she paints is very dated and very old. In fact, I would go so far as to say I think there's a slim possibility she could be the first person out. Like, RuPaul does not like dated drag. That is the one thing that is absolutely the kiss of death on RuPaul's Drag Race. That's why I didn't respond well to Nina last season, because her drag, like, was very dated. Now, she had the personality to make up for it and obviously entertained the fuck out of RuPaul and definitely learned as she went along. But there have been so many queens in the history of RuPaul's Drag Race that went home first because they had dated drag. And if you have dated drag, you're going to bore the fuck out of RuPaul. I'm going to call it now. I'm going to say she's the first person out.
Come on.
So what? I don't know. I don't know if I got, I don't know if I got, like, fake from her or put on, but I do think that she feels like she's deeper than she actually is.
Yes.
Because, like I said before, when she said, you know, there's so many new queens nowadays that are just all about Instagram, and that's fine and everything, but, like, let's get crazy too. Let's have some fun. I'm like, that's not really a hot take to have. Like, and if you're going to come for the Instagram queens, which in a lot of ways is a legitimate form of drag, then you really need to bring it. Like, you really need to show them, okay, well then what is, if you're like such this iconic blend of 1950s culture with, you know, this new age drag type, and that's your brand, then I want to see it. Because right now, you don't, like, why do you look, I mean, you don't look old, but why do you look not 27?
She looks like Lady Bunny.
Yes.
Right.
That's what I had in my notes. Is she trying to be Lady Bunny? Is that why RuPaul picked her? Because she got confused and thought it might have been Lady Bunny for, like, a split second.
I feel like she might actually end up being the villain of the season. I feel like she's going to have something possible to say about everybody else's drag, or saying, like, I just feel like she's a history nerd. I feel like she has, like, a lot of information inside her brain, which is great and everything. I feel like she really knows about the history of drag and how it's, you know, I think she's one of the only people in her video to really talk about drag as it's progressed through time. So I feel like she's always going to have something to say about somebody else, and that might not go over well. So either the first one out or the one pissing everybody else off that we wish was the first one out.
I don't think she'll be first one out. I think that there are other people that may not do as well as her. I think she'll be able to skate by at least for a couple episodes, but I think it's going to depend on the diversity of the looks that she'll be able to bring her. I don't know. Maybe she will be able to kill it in some of the challenges. I think she has enough faith in herself that she will get in some of those challenges and really just be blindly confident. And that could definitely work in her favor. And she describes herself as, you know, glamour meets camp, glamp, as she likes to refer to herself. I personally prefer genuinely to glamping, if we're going to come up with fake words. But I don't know. I'm... cautious.
Yeah, like, even that little pun right there wasn't as, like, masterful as she sort of, like, smirked at herself for that pun. And I'm like, that's not...
I'm so clever.
Like, the comedy here is, you think that this is, like, real comedy, but that's, I don't know, it was just very strange to me.
Yeah, we'll see. Maybe it's also the bunny ears and the urban streetwear look that's giving me Lady Bunny. I don't know. It's all, like, mashed together.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about our last queen here, Widow Von Du, 30 years old from Kansas City, Missouri. And she describes herself as the confident Kansas City queen. Also very creative. I don't know how she'll do, Brent.
I loved her.
Oh, really?
I'll say that. I absolutely fucking loved her. Yeah, she's got personality for days. She's so funny. She cracks me up. She can turn the party. She knows how to dance. Like, I was like, I'm so here for you. I mean, she's a little bit of a mess Okay, makeup wise, look wise, it's definitely a little bit of a mess. That's okay. It doesn't bore me. It keeps me entertained. Like, I would so rather see this than Sherry Pie. I think she's got like outside shot at Final Four. She's got so much charisma and uniqueness that I do feel like that the talent and the nerve can kind of maybe be lacking, but like she doesn't have everything. Okay. She's not a fully finished product, but I think she thinks she is. And maybe there's something she can learn along the way. Maybe they can, like, you know how the RuPaul's Drag Race does these like faux lessons that they give the queens. And like, if you do the lesson, then RuPaul and Michelle are like, yay, you're learning. Good for you. Gold star. Like when like Bianca Del Rio had like the white line underneath her eye. And then like they said, like, get rid of that, and so she took it off for one challenge, and they were like, yay, you're learning, and now you've given us enough so that we can crown your ass. Like, I feel like that maybe the widow Von Du can't, and by the way, it's like her last name is Kat Von D, and also Erica Badu, so that's how she got to Widow Von Du, which I love that she explained it like that. She's so entertaining and so fun and so interesting to me. She's a little bit of a hot mess, but I'm here for it. Amon, what do you think of the widow?
She's a big girl, and I mean, I talked on the podcast before about, you know, sometimes the big girls, for whatever reason, the looks that they turn are just all very cookie cutter and the same. But she said that she wants to show body. She wants to show her arms, her legs, her stomach. She doesn't want to just wear a gown. So I'm really, really hoping that she follows through on that, because I think it's high time. And we got a little bit of it with Soki last season, but I think it's just high time that these big girls, we do get to see them wear more things than just things that cover up their entire body. Like, I want to see you take that step, take that risk. And like, yeah, she's just very sweet, very warm. Just I just wanted to give her a hug as I was watching the video. I just feel like she's just there to have a good time, and she knows that, you know, she's not from a place that's known for drag. I mean, she only has 23,000 followers on Instagram. She's, you know, a bit of like an unknown entity, and I feel like she knows that this is the big leagues now. This is like maybe her one and only shot to really make a name for herself, and I feel like she's gonna grab hold of that and just ride the thing until the wheels fall off. So, I mean, I'm excited for her. I like that she described herself as like high class ratchet, meaning that she like lived in like a bit of a middle class neighborhood, but would still hang out with the hoes down the street. That was my childhood, so I relate to that very, very much. So I'm excited.
Yeah, ratchet ass queen with high ass fashion. I thought that was a really good picture for her. Yeah, I liked her personality. But I was a little worried just based on some of the looks that she was turning out. Not that I don't appreciate. I mean, bitch, wear whatever you want. Show off your body. I love that. I'm here for that. It just felt like some of the looks weren't fully realized yet, or maybe weren't fully thought through. And so I think that was sort of took me aback a little bit. I don't know if you guys saw, but the urban streetwear look was a choice. It was, I don't even know how I would describe it.
It's giving you like Mexican wrestler type deal.
Yeah, there's a little bit of cartoon, like in X-Men, when like there would be like an evil villain that would come from outer space, that would be her. Like, I don't understand how it's urban streetwear. I guess urban streetwear from outer space. Okay.
Yeah, like which street? Like,
the color is, because she's got this purple shirt on underneath that looks like it could be like a sequin leotard kind of look, and then she's got that Space Invaders outfit over the top for the streetwear, and it's orange and black, and I don't know, so maybe that was just a little like, I don't know,
it's an assault to your eyeballs, and I love it.
Yeah, an assault to my eyeballs. So I think she'll be a really fun character on the show, but I don't necessarily think she'll go very far. But you know, who knows, I could be very wrong, and I'd be happy about that, because I think her personality really popped.
Yeah, her personality was definitely like, I watched a couple of these videos back to back, and she came on, and I was like, oh, it made me stand up and take notice. So I was like, maybe I'm giving her too much credit for the personality. Her looks definitely need a little bit of help, but I'm here for it. Like, I'm rooting for you, big girl. Let's go.
Okay, before we start to wrap things up, do either of you have just any other comments that you want to say about contestants this season, or just looking forward to the season in general?
I think it's, yeah, we have to address the fact that RuPaul did not cast a trans queen on this season, which I don't really know how that happened. I know we talked about it in the patron group, and I've talked about it a little bit on social media. I feel like that was a missed opportunity. I don't feel like the show will make that mistake again. I feel like they thought that it wasn't a big deal. They obviously misjudged that. Like, for them not to give us, like, trans queens, like, when I was a kid and, like, 16, 17, 18 coming out and going, like, sneaking into the drag bars and whatnot, I met drag queens that were trans queens, okay? They were trans women who also did drag. And, like, if I, in the middle of Indiana and Kentucky, at 16, 17, 18 years old, can meet a trans woman who's also a drag queen, I'm pretty sure RuPaul's Drag Race can find at least one or two to put on every season. I really feel like it was a missed opportunity for the show. Don't know what they were thinking, especially in 2020. But yeah. Liana.
Yeah, I think it was a missed opportunity, but you know, I don't know. We'll see what the future has in store. I don't know if they were just, you know, not thinking about it or what was happening, but these are the queens that we have, and so we'll move forward with these 13.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the season. Sorry, Mon, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, I just feel like RuPaul, you know, the show was getting successful. VH1 keeps ordering more seasons. He's getting more coin. I just feel like he's now becoming one of those people that is like, cause he doesn't care to address the critique either, because he's been when he won his Emmy, for best reality series, people were asking him about that in the press room about, you know, not only his comments against the trans community, but also just like the lack of diversity on his team, being that he is an African American man. Why is your team so white? Like, so, and he doesn't really seem to want to address any of those.
No, he does
critiques.
Not.
So I just feel like he's, you know, he might be getting a little bit too big for himself. And I think that's kind of what it boils down to. And it's unfortunate, but I do hope that in the future, because people are not going to shut up about it. Like, it's not going to go. Like, people are going to keep telling you this. And if there's any, like, this is your fan base. This is your community. So if there's anybody that she should be listening to, it's us.
Well, and one Josh Wiggler showed with Survivor, be vocal. If you feel strongly about something, you know, be vocal. Don't be an asshole about it, but like, be vocal about how you feel, because you deserve to have a voice. Brent, what were you going to say?
I forget. I'm sure it wasn't important, but I take your point, Amon, about RuPaul not wanting to talk about it. I remember she was asked in the Emmy Post awards show sort of thing that they do, and she was specifically asked about the fact that, like, what, you know, why isn't there more producers of color, men and women of color around you in the producing side of things? And of course, RuPaul totally basically ignored the question and was like, we have people of color here. We have women over here. Like, I feel like we're the most representative of everybody. And in RuPaul, like in television. And I'm like, bitch, you are lying through your teeth. You are lying through. Why can't you just say, you know what? You're right. We don't have as many women and men of color on our team. We should. I need to do better. That is a fair point. That's all you have to fucking say. And they always get so defensive about it. Pisses me
he's
off.
He's trying to protect that bag. He doesn't want to offend anybody that's on the production already. Like, he's just...
Why do you have to get rid of anybody who's on production already? Why can't we just add to it? Like, I'm sure there's one or two places we could add another executive producer or assistant producer or director. I'm sure, like, there's, like, every episode of RuPaul's Drag Race has a certain director. We can't put more women or women of color in places where they can excel? Is that not a thing?
It's baffling. It really is. It kind of reminds me of, like, unrelated topic, but it kind of reminds me of, like, Tyler Perry when he just... he went viral a couple months ago for showing a screenshot of all these scripts that he had written. He's like bragging about how he doesn't need a writer's room, and all of his shit is so repetitive and so derivative and so bland and so cookie cutter. And it's like, well, girl, maybe you don't want to brag about not having a writer's room, because obviously you need one. And I just feel like it's the same thing with RuPaul. Like, come on, like this is like this show was built on the backs of people that are on the fringe of society, and it is now getting a lot of shine, a lot of spotlight, and it is becoming mainstream. No matter how much you want to hold on to like this non-mainstream identity, that's just not the reality of it anymore. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, like, you really have to, you have a platform, you have the resources, you have access to put people in spaces that could be very beneficial for them and the members of the community. But I mean, if you don't want to, it's,
My hope is that Rue, like, behind the scenes has been like, you know, we do need more representative of color.
Me too.
Like, because it's very easy for RuPaul, as somebody who's been successful for a long time, to not pay attention to something like that, because you are the color. For so long, right. RuPaul herself was the color in her business. And so mm-hmm. she, like, has all of these white men and women around her who are helping her because that's the end, and so she has to play the game, but she doesn't mm-hmm. have to play the game anymore. Like, she's the fucking boss.
Yeah, but you run the game. Like, now this is the opportunity.
Like, it has your name on it.
I'm hoping behind the scenes she decides to say, you know, we need to do better. And maybe just a little bit better, but obviously a lot better, but I'm hoping just a little bit better at this point.
All right, well.
There's also something to be said with the popular take that the show really is about the queens and not so much about RuPaul, like, because those are the people that really make the show.
Yeah, but I take your point on that. But like the people who make the coin, the people that like that rise and fall and decide storylines are the people behind the scenes. Yeah. And that has to be representative of the queens out in front. If you have a bunch of black queens out front and people of color and you have no black people behind the scenes, you're going to get an unrepresentative storyline because you just don't understand what's going on. You just don't have the same shared experience. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that's the same criticism of Survivor, too, right? With the whole thing that happened. But we're okay. We're not going to relitigate that. Let's look ahead. So we have this season coming up. Like we talked about, the premiere is the 28th of February. But we also have All-Star Season 5. The premiere got announced for June 5th. So we're going to have this season. And then right after, we're going to hop into All-Stars Season 5, which is on Showtime. And Brent, I know that you feel very strongly about this.
Who the fuck has Showtime? Like, what is this? This is terrible. What is RuPaul's Drag Race doing? Like, they weren't making enough coins on VH1. Like, I've heard some stories about how it's a Viacom thing and they needed something to put on Showtime because Showtime is owned by Viacom, supposedly, or whatever. Fine. Whatever. I don't understand putting what is ostensibly your crown jewel in All-Stars on somewhere like Showtime. Literally, I'm going to tell you guys, the last time I had Showtime was when Queer as Folk was on in the early 2000s. That is the last time.
That's what I'm saying. How about they just fucking revive Queer as Folk? Put that shit on there.
I can't believe that hasn't happened. But that said, I don't understand why RuPaul's Drag Race is on Showtime. Like,
go ahead. Girl, like, no one's going to be paying for that. People don't pay for the fucking cable as it is now. So many of these gays and girls are watching RuPaul's Drag Race at their local bar that has a TV. They're not paying for VH1. So why do you think that they're going to go ahead and pay for Showtime? It's the dumbest decision. I don't get it at all.
Yeah, stupid. I cut the cord, so, like, I'm definitely going to my local gay bar to watch.
I was going to say, like, how are you guys going to, I mean, like I have a TV and I have cable. I don't have Showtime. I guess I could get it, but I'm like, I don't even know what we're going to do. Whatever.
Okay. Well, that's a problem for
we'll deal
June
with that later. Yeah. Right.
Let's get through this season first. All right. Well, this was so much fun. It's gotten me so pumped for the season. I really cannot wait for Friday. So, Aman,
me too.
Thank you for joining us. Of course, you will be back next week with us because you're permanent now, biatch.
Yeah.
How can people find you on social media and what else are you up to?
You can find me on Twitter at Aman Adwin, A-D-W-I-N, where I will be ranting and raving about whatever it is that is supposed to be ranted and raved about. And yeah, that's pretty much it. That's all I got going for me right now.
I thought you were going to say, like, he's permanent, like, herpes. I'm like, oh, that's not good.
Why would I say that?
Said you wouldn't tell anybody.
You can find me at One Lucky Gay. That's one spelled out O-N-E. I just got done podcasting about Sequester, which was so fun, and I'm so excited for BB Can 8. I just talked to Arissa Cox. We're gonna get to, I'm hoping we get to talk to Arissa before the season. I'm psyched about it. She's here for it. Publicity is here for it. So I am psyched for BB Can this season. Me, Taryn, and Melissa are gonna be covering that shit. And then, like, right when All Star starts, we were into BB Can USA. Like, this is the part of the year where I am working hard, bitch. So bring it on.
Gotta make that money.
Yeah.
Okay. So I am on social media at Liana Boris. I did a ton this week, actually. I was just channeling my best Mike Bloom impression of like normal. Puya and I got together to talk about The Masked Singer. So that was a ton of fun. We also did the RHAP B&B. So that was me and Mike Bloom with our guest Meg Z to talk about the latest episode of Survivor. I'm also going to be on Why Blank Lost this week with David Bloomberg and Jessica Lewis. We did a little bit of a crossover episode, so I'm going to be hopping over there to talk about Why Blank Lost. And then I was on the most recent episode of Robin, Akiva, and Nita podcast playing a podcast adaptation of Deal or No Deal called Wheel or No Wheel.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun with DJ LaBelle Klein and Jess East, so huge shout out to them. So definitely check all of those wonderful things out. So before we wrap things up, I just want to thank Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes for all of the amazing work that he does for us. And oh my gosh, we are going to be back next week to talk about the premiere episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Season 12. Bye.
Bye.